The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, and this is my second attempt because my first attempt did not go over very well. Here's the deal. I remember a study a while back where somebody gave nurses and doctors a checklist of everything they had to do when they checked on a patient, and they were all offended, saying they know how to do their own job, thank you very much, but the hospital administrators insisted, and so they followed the instructions. One of the instructions happened to be wash your hands before and after dealing with a new patient. And once they did that, infections in the hospital went way down. I've been podcasting since 2004, and I'm still making mistakes here and there. And I think I need my checklist. I've actually written a checklist in the past, and it got lost among the madness of my office. So there is a checklist. I just don't follow it. Oh, God. Okay, so what happened was I recorded on my portable mic and not realized that the gain had been turned all the way down, so it couldn't hear me at all. That was great. Because that's what you want on a podcast. Anyway, so my first item was explaining where I've been, and I've been locked up inside my own head lately. First, I did some travel, and all the time I think I'm going to be traveling, and I'm going to record on the road. I have the equipment, I have my laptop, I can do it, and I never do. I don't know what that is. We're unpacking different things right now. For example, one of the things is that I've also had a block against recording, and I've had to figure out why. And I think the problem is, and this is not logical, this is actually quite stupid, the problem is that my book's getting attention now, and I'm doing more promotion on Twitter, but then my brain says, okay, so my book is getting attention, I'm doing more promotion on Twitter, people are going to be coming to look at my site, and that frightens me, and I want to run and hide. I definitely don't want to put out new content because that means people will look at it and they will judge me. When I've been making content for over a decade to put on my site, I still have this problem. Every time I wonder if I've said enough about the beginning issues of writing, I realize I haven't because I still have these problems. And I don't think most of us ever get over them. We just learn that there's something to get through. It's like the wall's still there. You just know that there's a door somewhere. You just got to find it. But it's frustrating not recording and then realize I haven't recorded and then realizing that I'm going to have to address the fact that I haven't recorded, which hangs a lantern on it and points out the fact that I haven't recorded and blah, blah, blah. And even though I'm talking about podcasting, this all comes back to a creative professional life where you will let any and everything get in the way of actually creating. But my book, Six Wakes, is nominated for the Philip K. Dick Award. It is nominated for the Nebula Award, which is just mind-boggling. And I, nominations for the Hugos close next week. And even though my friend Ursula says hope is the mind killer, I still hope for a Hugo nomination. I never thought I would get one, but I never thought I'd get a Nebula nomination, so what the hell. But to take the conversation in the direction of actually writing, something that's been bugging me, and even though I talk about writing books, some of the examples I make are based on television because, let's face it, more people watch television than read books, and it's also faster to access the example if I say go to Amazon Prime and look at Mozart in the Jungle, which is what I'm saying. Mozart in the Jungle is a story about it's a comedy about the New York City Symphony and a young woman who wants to be an oboist. And it's well written and it's funny and the characters are awesome. But it has one glaring storytelling problem. It's a great show. People love it. But as a storyteller, it really, really grates on me, this one aspect. So our hero is a young woman who wants to be an oboist, professional oboist. And she approaches the head, the first chair oboe in the symphony. And this woman is pretty much an anus face. She's awful. She's absolutely terrible. She's not the kind of woman who wants to bring up other women, because if she had to fight really, really hard to get where she is, then they should have to fight really, really hard to get where they are too. It's infuriating, but some people do believe that. Pretty sure Susan B. Anthony did not believe that, but I'm just pointing that out. So, terrible woman, and she's brought up as a foil to our hero several times. But the New York City Symphony is planning on going on a tour, I believe, of South America. And they're playing a softball game against another symphony or whatever. I don't remember who it was. But the first chair oboe mean woman goes up to bat. The pitcher hits her with the ball. She takes it personally and rushes the pitcher. And the next thing we know is she's screaming in pain. And when we finally get back to her, it turns out that she has a compound fracture on her finger. So the bone is sticking out and blood is running down her hand. And the first thing she says is she looks at our hero and she says, "Well, I guess you're going to South America." And this is so clearly I am a supporting character in your life story comment. It offends me. Because if your job is music, if your job is playing music, and you get a compound fracture in your finger, hands are very important and hands are very, very difficult. When that happens, you think, my career is over. My music is over. You don't think that woman upstart that pisses me off gets to take my place and I better tell her now. And the thing is, it would have been so easy just to have her freaking out about her career in her hand and someone else turn to our hero and say, "Hey, it looks like you're going to South America with us," because she can't. And this happens more than once. There's a couple who are having their baby christened during a labor dispute. And the couple happened to be a musician in the orchestra and someone on the board. And so people from the board and the orchestra are there. And the maestro locks them in the church and says he won't let them out until the labor dispute's over. So number one, you've got kidnapping. And people have phones. They can call the police. They could say, "Get us out of here." But number two, he has just turned this little girl's christening, a very important moment in her parents' lives, into a story about work and a story about his issues with the labor dispute. And nobody actually points this out. Nobody says, "You had to screw up our child's christening. You really did." It was still, "This is my story, and here's how I'm manipulating the rest of you to suit me." And they're all like, "Yep, we're supporting characters. We'll do it." Yeah, it's hard to write a story with fleshed out characters because they all want different things. But that's the challenge. No one said this was going to be easy. Your characters need to do what is best for them. And if they're not going to do what is best for them or what they want to do, there's got to be a really good reason why. You know, you've got there's one woman in this story and we need a love story, so clearly she's going to fall in love with our hero. That's great. I was so excited to see Phantom of the Opera after hearing about it my whole life. And while the music was brilliant, the story was awful. I hated it. It's like, she had to fall in love with him because plot said so. There was absolutely no other reason for her to fall in love with him except for his pretty voice. And you know, that doesn't really make a relationship last. So you just don't want things to happen because plot. You don't want supporting people to do things because it fits what the main character wants or needs. You want things to happen organically. You want people to come together and work either towards something or against something, or with each other or against each other. See, Buffy the Vampire Slayer did that pretty well with the character of Cordelia, because Cordelia wasn't a bad person. She's kind of mean, but she wasn't evil. And when it came to it, she was, you know, going for the same thing that Buffy was, which is monsters bad. But she hated Buffy, and she did what she wanted to do that was best for her, because she wasn't going to just fall in line and do what Buffy wanted, because she hated her. So what do you do if your characters, if you try to do what's right for your characters, and they don't work in the direction of the plot, or they don't work in the direction of the what the protagonist needs? Well, figure out how you can make it work. Figure out if the protagonist needs to actually pay attention to the supporting character and maybe do something for them. Maybe change a little bit of the plot to figure out how this character's honest actions happen. Will better suit what's going on. You know, don't just make people do things because plot, because convenience. It rings untrue, and while, like I said, Mozart in the Jungle is a great show, I enjoy it, but it's very clear that their supporting characters are simply supporting characters and nothing else. They have no desires, except unless it has to do with helping or hurting our main characters. And, you know, when it comes to motivations, you gotta remember. Think about dogs. My dog. Or toddlers. My dog thinks that if she is bad, I will pay attention to her, and she'll get the attention she wants. She doesn't quite understand that I would prefer to give her attention for doing good things. We're trying to teach her that. But in my dog's mind, you know, attention's good. And if she gets really mad, she might chase me, and that's fun. So, my dog doesn't want to make my day a living hell. And maybe if she understood that she was making my day a living hell, she might change her methods. I would like to think she would. No, she's doing things that suit her and doesn't quite, and it does not fit in with my plot, even though she is my loyal companion. So think about your supporting characters as dogs. Sort of. I'm reaching here. Hey, did you know that I Should Be Writing has a sponsor now? I Should Be Writing is supported by Cereal Box. It's called the HBO of Reading by National Public Radio. Cereal Box brings you gripping stories written by best-selling and award-winning teams of writers with new episodes every week. They're the addictive new shows you can read or listen to. The Cereal Box app lets you switch from listening to reading with a click. So join the plot with Cereal Box. Right now, I Should Be Writing listeners can get 20% off of any first season of a Cereal Box series. Head over to cerealbox.com and enter the promo code WRITING18. 18 are numerals. That's SERIALBOX.com, and the code is WRITING18. And you know, I write for Cereal Box, so I really, really want you to go over there and check it out. I wrote on Bookburners. I've been there since season one, and I think it's pretty awesome. So that's just me. But if you like YA, they've got something for you. If you like romance, they've got something for you. If you like spy, they got something for you. If you like geek girls, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff over there. So check it out. I can't remember how much I've talked about the last time I recorded. As I said, Six Wakes was nominated for the Nebula Award, which is just bizarre for me. I will be going to Nebula Weekend in Pittsburgh. If anybody's going to be there, let me know. I've never been. It's exciting. I hear it's a major professional con where people talk a lot about businessy stuff. I'm also going to NorwestCon, which is at the end of this month, for the Philip K. Dick Awards. I would say that I'm traveling an awful long way to lose stuff, but, you know, considering the nominations were so surprising, I honestly have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just riding it. I'm just riding the wave. I'm learning as I get older that realizing you have no power is actually quite empowering. So, you know, when you think, I have no power over my publishing career, it's actually, you know, makes you feel better if you think about it. It's like, I have no power whether I get this award or not. It's not my decision. And if I get it and I don't feel like I've deserved it, well, it still wasn't my decision. And if I don't get it, well, it's not like I did anything wrong. It's the whole serenity prayer thing. When you think about what you have control over and you worry about that, you'll probably be more satisfied in life. Because if you can't control it, why worry? I know why worry. As I've mentioned a couple of times in this show, that the only way I feel I've grown up sometimes is recognizing that a lot of my innate responses to things are completely illogical, and then trying to move on beyond that. It's not easy. But if you're voting for the Hugos or the Nebulas, consider Six Wakes. Consider for Fancast this show or Ditch Diggers. Think about, and you know, let's move beyond self-serving for Myrrh. A lot of people don't realize what the Worldcon gets you. If you go to the Worldcon, you have the right to nominate for the Hugos. You have the right to vote for the Hugos. You have the right to go to the business meeting and decide the future of the Hugos and the World Science Fiction Convention. The problem is the business meeting is dry and it runs by Robert's Rules of Order, and that's hard to follow if you don't already know, but you still have a lot of power. So consider what you've read, what you've listened to, what you've watched this year, and think if any of it's award-worthy, and you're going to these conventions, if you're going to Worldcon, then you have the right to nominate. Don't waste that power you have, because there's a small fraction of people who go to the Worldcon who actually vote. So I'm encouraging you to vote. One other bit of housekeeping. My website is under construction right now, and I'm not going to put a 1996 little animated GIF of a little shoveling guy, but just if you go there and you get confused or whatever, be patient. I'm trying to update it and learn a new WordPress theme, and it's frustrating. So any patience you can give me is good. However, that website is at Myrrhverse.com, and it's possible by the time you listen to this, it'll be just dandy. I don't know. But I have to get back to work because I have a ton of writing to do in a short amount of time, and I gotta get to that. And if you want to email me, you can do so at mightymur@gmail.com. But in the meantime, you should be writing. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. The fact that Doctor Who is on TV.